want to just thank God this afternoon, and quickly I want to just recognize our leaders for the youth ministry, the Bridge ministry, John and Gloria. Want to thank God for your tireless effort to our teens. Want to thank God for Michelle. She's not yet, Michelle Congress. She's not yet the morning. We want to thank God for her. Want to thank God for Cassia. You saw she's directing our teens, the choir. Want to thank God for her also. And we also want to thank God for Natalie. She's in the back. Want to thank God for her and her efforts. We want to thank God for my dear and pretty and wonderful wife, Verna. Overall, we want to thank God for all these, because without these leaders, we won't have a youth group, right? Taking off the time to be here and work with our teens, it's a challenge. But we thank God for the energy, the strength that they come every Friday prepared, even though sometimes like we hitting the wall when we engaging them. But we have to stay challenged and be prepared every time we meet. And we want to thank God for them, our teens also, for the efforts that come every Friday. They are here, and that's a challenge to our parents. And I'm going to talk about that in my message. But we want to encourage you parents also for your effort to bring our teens, to bring your children to learn from God's word, you know. And most importantly, before I go on, I want to thank another person, two group of persons that are not here. They're here this morning. Miss Cleo Sparty, she's here. You know, when we meet Friday, she kind of prepare our latest stuff for the kids. So sometimes they say, we have something tonight, we have anything to eat. It's Miss Cleo and Mark. They're in the kitchen preparing something for our team. So we want to thank God for them. Because even though the word of God said man should not live on bread alone, but they're there providing the bread for our teens, even as we come together every Friday. So we want to thank God this morning. Quickly before go, Awana leaders, your leader wanted to announce that right after service, there will be a meeting at right after service today. So see Ms. Jill right after service for a brief discussion. All right. Today, View Sunday, and I'm kind of wondering, what can I speak to on this Sunday? What can I say? Especially speaking to our young people. Now, this message may be for our teens, but not only for our teens, but also for those of our college students, graduates that left high school and going into college. You are part of this message, too. And not only our college students, but entire congregation, you are part of this message, too. Amen? But we got to start from the teens first and climb the ladder before we get in. Let us just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come and just speak your word. As we speak, Lord, we say you come and take control, not me. Holy Spirit, speak your word and let your word go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it is being sent. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when I decided to speak, I think, what can I say to our young people? And the only thing that came to my mind was the book of Ecclesiastes that was written by Solomon. And his life kind of talks about the approach of life from a young man or a woman to adulthood. And so my team basically is, oh, Chris, you trying to rush me out of here? Can we go by one step? Thank you. The days of thy youth. The days of thy youth. A lot of things happen during the days of your youth, right? Yeah. Our older folks here can attest it. Yeah. Can remember, can relate to what I'm about to say. So we're going to be looking at the days of thy youth, what Solomon had to say, even to his generation, and today still apply to our generation. Amen? All right, Chris, help me now. We can go to the next slide. There you go. So for our eternal truth, it's just simple. Even as a youth, as a teen, guess what? You have the responsibility to serve God. No excuse. You can't be like Jeremiah who said, I'm only a youth. No. No. God can use you despite of your age. And because he did it in the Old Testament, he chose Samuel, who was a young boy, right? He called Samuel. Samuel wasn't a priest before God called him. He called him when he was a little boy. And we're going to see in our passage today, because the days of your youth represent the time at which you can learn and be modeled in God, in a godly manner. Because when you invest in knowing God through learning his word, guess what? You are able to stay on the path that leads to life. You are able to stay on the path that leads to what? Life. So, and as I was preparing this message, and let us look at the author, they call him the preacher, Solomon, who wrote this book, Ecclesiastes. They're referring to him as a preacher. And this book kind of gives us the proper view of this present life, especially to us as young people, right? Now, King Solomon was the third king of Israel. He reigned in Jerusalem around the year 950 to 935 BC. And that's about 3,000 years ago. And he became one of the youngest king of Israel. As a matter of fact, it says that scholars believe that he was either 17 or 18 years old when he became king, when he reigned as king of Israel after his father David. But I was doing a research on this, a first century historian called Josephus. He gave Solomon a younger age. He said Solomon was 14 years old. So that means he has not even gotten his driver's license yet. And he was ruling one of the most powerful nations in the world at that time. But guess what? This part of his age, God still using God. God spoke to Solomon in a dream and asked him, Solomon, now you are king. Tell me what you want. And Solomon did not request for riches. And guess what? Some of you teens here today, not even the teens, some of the adults are here. If God just spoke to you, we said, tell me what you want. You would make a long list, and God said, what? I didn't think that you were making that list. I didn't even know what you're talking about. But God asked Solomon what you want. Solomon didn't request for riches. He didn't request for anything else, but he asked for what? Wisdom. He said, give me wisdom so that I will lead your people. And God gave Solomon wisdom. And in addition, God said, because you did not ask for money, you didn't ask for riches, and maybe, I don't know, maybe God think he will... Maybe he was making a mistake at that time. I don't know. But God said, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you everything. And Solomon happens to be the richest king ever lived. He had everything. And God gave him wisdom. And this wisdom, Solomon exchanged. In later time, we're going to see Solomon exchange this wisdom for wealthy life. So one preacher said he fathered three W's. He fathered wine, he fathered women, he fathered works, and then he fathered wealth. Four W's, rather. Thank you. Four W's. So he got distracted from the wisdom, from the blessing that God gave him. And Solomon has 700 wives and 300 concubines. Well, we're going to say side chicks, right? Girlfriend. Oh, you're not ugly. You don't know what I'm talking about. Let's stop. But he has 700 wives and 300 concubines. So he had 1,000 women in total. Can you imagine that? God gave him wealth, God gave him wisdom, God gave him everything, and he just triple, quadruple everything that came over. You see, Solomon never had a great life than nobody else on the face ever had a great life and start a great life than Solomon. Because God blessed his father David, right? God said David was the man of his heart. And because of the favor of God upon David, God chose Solomon to be the next king of Israel. And that blessing follows Solomon. Now, why are we talking all these things? Everything turned around in Solomon's life. Everything. Those things that he thought would have brought him happiness, would have brought him life, would have brought him peace, would have brought him joy. It wasn't things that was to glorify God. Everything turns around. God was no longer in the equation. What started very great of Solomon's life ended terrible. Very terrible. And someone said, apparently Solomon must have seen everything and he was about to give his last breath. So he decided to say, you know what? Let me write this and say, I've achieved all these things. But this is what I'm going to tell you. It's nothing. Everything that I worked for, everything I achieved, the 1,000 women, the riches, and everything, the fame, the popularity, it's nothing. It's nothing because why? God is not interested. God will supply all our needs, right? But sometimes when he supplies all our needs, we go beyond and use our needs to glorify ourselves, to our own desire, and forget about the supplier. And that's what happened to Solomon. So quickly, we want to talk quickly on one or two things that Solomon realizes that kind of broke his life. Let's go to the next slide. First of all, he realized that things in his life just don't provide the real fulfillment and meaning like a relationship with God. Those things doesn't provide a real meaning. And it led him to come with a final observation. But before going into our topic, our scripture for today that was beautifully read by Archie. Thank you, Archie. Let us go back to chapter 11, verse 9 to 10. Solomon wrote there, he says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. He kind of tell young people, he said, listen, enjoy. You know, sometimes our young people can say, this is my life. I'm going to live and enjoy my life because I don't know when I'm going to die, right? And so that's the mentality of other young people or other people, not only young people, even other, I'm going to live my life because life is one time. Once you're dead, it's gone, you're not going to have the second chance to enjoy it. And Solomon was telling the young people, say, yeah, go ahead, enjoy your life. Explore life. Go wherever you want to go. See things you want to see. Do things you want to do. Enjoy. But guess what he says? He said, but know that for all these things, what's going to happen? Oh, and you got to pay attention here. Yo, look at me. I'm speaking to you this morning. He said, God will bring what? You into what? Judgment. Oh, hold on, Solomon. You just gave me the green light. You said, go ahead, enjoy. Explore everything. Have fun. Enjoy. And then now he said, no. Pause. Even though you have the opportunity to enjoy life as you're young, as you have, you desire to, but guess what, young people? Guess what, college students? Guess what, church? God will bring you into judgment. So he said, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are what? Vanity. And that vanity means meaningless, nothing. So God is going to judge you. You want to be the best athlete? Shoot for it. Because we need some of that money to come back here, right? When you sign your million-dollar contract. Come back to the church and say, I donated it to the church. Right? Yeah. We'll pray for you. Amen. But if you going to allow that money to mislead you like it did for Solomon, guess what? God will bring you into judgment. That's not my saying. It's God saying. So don't hold me responsible. But after Solomon have given this powerful statement, look what he said, which we want to go into our passage for today. Why? He gave the powerful statement. He says in chapter 12, verse 1, he said, remember now your creator. Even though he says in chapter 11, verse 9 to 10, he said, go ahead, enjoy life. Go ahead, explore. See what you want to see. Do what you want to do. But God is going to bring you into judgment. But because God is going to bring you into judgment, he said, pause. And the first thing you should do while you go on enjoying your life, remember now your who? Creator. Don't go on enjoying life and forget about your creator. Don't go on exploring adventures and forget about your creator. So he said, in the days of your what? Youth. Not in the days of your adulthood. Not in the days of your old age. But he starts from where? Your youth. That's what he says. So, thank you, Chris. You're on track. So why did God say that? The first thing when God said, when he said, remember your creator, we want to look at a call to remembrance. He said, that creator. What is it about a creator that God, that Solomon wants our youth, our young people to remember? First thing, remember your existence is from who? God. And secondly, consider God's sovereignty. And quickly, help me, Chris, let's go to that. Your existence is from God. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It tells us that. Then God said, let us make man in our own what? Image. According to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God did what? He created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Young people, don't go on enjoying your life until you know anything about your life. First of all, you don't know how you came into being. You have no power over your being. It was God who destined you to be here right now. It's not you yourself. You have no power over your existence. You have no power over how you live it. It is God who created you. It is God who sustains you. It is God through his power make you to exist right now. So before you go on doing anything with your life and say, this is my life, forget it. It's not your life. It is God who gives you that life. Before you go on to college and do anything, remember your existence, who brought you forth. It is God. Amen? Amen. And not only that, consider God's sovereignty. As you think about your future, as you think about that, put God in the picture. And you know, I want to go back to the story of Job. Job was one of the wealthier men in his days. The Bible said God blessed him. And it came a point in time when the saints of God gathered together and God said, he boasts about Job. He said, have you seen my servant Job? So he sat down and said, oh, you know what, God, you just blessing Job. That's why Job praising you. He's serving. He's faithful to you. But if you take away his blessing, he's gone. And then God decided to test Job. And Job went through it. But it came a point in time Job got frustrated. He got angry with God. And he decided to question God. He decided to put God on the spot and say, why? You know, sometimes when things happen in our lives, then we question God, God, why me? Say, God, I serve you. I go to church and do this and do that. Why are you going to allow this to happen to me? We question God. We question his authority. We question his sovereignty. Why is this happening to me? And that's what his very position Job was in. And he questions God's sovereignty. And God said, okay. Job, you talk, I listen, but now you listen to me. And he looked in there in verse 3 there, he said, Now prepare yourself like a man. You talk too much, right? Now it's my time to talk. Put yourself together. Listen to me. First of all, I will question you and you will answer me. Because first of all, I'm not answerable to you. God is not answerable to any of us. He does what he, God, wants to do in our life and when and how and why he wants to. And he I put a couple of scriptures there. He said, listen to me, Joe. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. And young people, don't go around moving about and enjoying your life and think you know everything. First of all, the earth and everything that is here did not came by itself. Anyway, the scientists say it came by Big Bang theory, but that's their theory, right? But it happened through God's theory. He sustains the earth, the universe, because he created everything. So he asked you, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? He said, tell me, if you have understanding, who determines its measures, man? Tell me. You know? Do you? You have no clue. And he said, or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fasting? Or who laid its cornerstone? So, don't go about enjoying everything that I provide for planet Earth and think that you know how it came into being and want to act like you are man over everything. No, I created it. You have no clue how all these things happen. You have no clue how it came into being. I, God, created it. So as a young person, Solomon says that even everything you have is nothing. Remember the sovereignty of God. That your existence is because of God. The gifts, the talent, whatever you have is from God. Amen. Guess what? Because when God gets ready, he takes it in a heartbeat. Let me go to the next slide. Another question he said, where is the way to the dwelling of light? We wake up in the morning, we see the sunshine, right? So he asked him, do you know where it goes? Do you know where I keep the light so the dark can come in first? In Nepal, he said, and darkness, where is it placed? You have no idea. So when you live your life, live it in according to God's will, not your own pleasure, not your own desire, not your own will. Because it is God who has power over everything. Look in verse 20, it says, that you may take it to its territory. You don't know where it goes to say, okay, this day I'm going to take darkness to its territory. I'm going to take light to its territory. No, you have no power. You don't know how it happened. He said, do you know it because you were born then or because the number of your days is great? No. Have you entered the treasure of snow? Do we know where the snow comes from? No. We just know the meteorologist is going to tell us it's going to snow today, right? And boom, it's fall. But we don't know where it comes from. But he asked Job, do you know where it comes from? He said, have you entered the treasure of the snow or have you seen the treasure of the hill? Those are things that tells us the sovereignty of the God that we serve. Amen? Amen? So he said, remember now your creator in the days of the youth. Remember his sovereignty. Remember his existence. Your existence did not just happen. Because the Bible says, when God spoke, all other things came into being, right? But he came to mankind, he said, let us make man. That helped lead us to our second point. The core. He says, remember now. Remember now. Not remember tomorrow. Not remember in the future. But why should we remember now? Listen. Life is fragile and momentary. It can leave at any time. Secondly, the trouble of old age awaits. Or, sorry, Dennis. may look handsome. You may look beautiful, girls. You can fix your hair and do whatever you want to do with it. But old age awaits you too. Because you're not going to have the time to do the hair and do the things. Let us look at the book of James chapter 4 verse 14 where he says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to occur tomorrow. He said, for your life, it is what? Even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's how fragile our life is. Moment it comes. Like what the scripture says, 1,000 years to man is like a day in the sight of the Lord, right? You may think you reach 50 or 20 years old. I reached sweet 16, right? You hit sweet 16, you say, I'm getting there. No, you ain't getting nowhere yet. Because guess what? God can take you even at sweet 16. We pray not, right? But when you make it sweet 17, do they have sweet 17? What a sweet 20 or sweet 15 or sweet 18. But the fact of the matter is, remember that life that you're living can vanish in a heartbeat. It can vanish in a heartbeat. But when you walk with God, when you trust God in his ways, like Solomon says, put God. Because everything you want to do is meaningless. Now, this is coming from a man who lived a life, who experienced this life from his youthful age until his old age. And if he could say all these things is nothing, take it from him and believe it. Amen? Amen. Not only life is fragile, David said in Psalm 39, he said, Lord, make me to know my end. And which God is not going to do? He said, and what is measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? And he said, indeed you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a what? Vapor. Surely, every man walks like a shadow. A shadow, when the light goes on, is there, right? You see the shadow when you walk when there's a light. But when the light goes on, what happens? No shadow. So your existence can come quickly and goes what? Quickly. But what matters is if you don't have a relationship with God in your youth going forward, you heading the wrong path. You're walking on the wrong way. And like I said, the trouble of old age awaits all. You're not going to remain young forever in your life. You're going to get older. Look at what Solomon says. He said, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house trouble and the strong men bow down. Now, Solomon was speaking, using metaphor, trying to say, this is how your life is going to be when you get old. You don't have the strength any longer. Those things that you used to do, maybe you used to do rock climbing or hiking, and when you get that age, you're not going to do that anymore. You don't have the opportunity anymore. He said, when the doors are shut in the street and the sound of the grounding is low, and he's talking about that grounding, your eyes, you can't even see longer. You have to wear glasses, and your structure, your physical health is what? Declining. You don't have the opportunity to do what you could have done when you were a young boy or a young girl. And that's why he says, now. Remember now. Not when you get in your old age. Remember now. If you need to make any great decision, remember God now. If you may want to make any choice, remember God now in the choices you make. Anything you want to do, remember God now. Don't wait, say, when I get my degree or when I achieve that, I'm going to do this and I'm going to serve God. That's a lie. Because those things are going to turn you away from God. They are good, but minus God, they are evil to your life. But with God, it helps you. And I want to say something here, kids. Look in our church. There are folks in the church that God has blessed them. God has blessed them to the extent that they give their sacrifice, they give their time to serving God. They don't think about their income, what they make. They don't think about because they're doing this great job or what have you. They do their job, but they come to church, teach Sunday school, teach music. They do great things to help the church to grow. And if they can do that, they are setting the example for everyone. You want to be a doctor? You can be a doctor and serve God in the church. We got nurses out here and serving God. If you want to be an engineer, you can be an engineer and serve God in the church. We got engineers out here serving God and doing God's work in the church. Amen. Whatever you want to do, you can be that and serve God. And guess what? God going to prosper you all the days of your life. Because the same David said, he said, I was old. And now I was young and now I'm old. He said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I have never seen his seed beg for bread. That's the God that is able to bring you through, even as a young person. And that leads us to our third point. What is involved in remembering now that Creator? God. Remember his exhortation. Remember his nature. Remember his commandments. Those are things we need to exhort God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, Paul says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. God created you. God brought you forth in this earth, on this earth. And glorify him. Honor him. Worship him. God loves when his children exalting. God loves his children worshiping. God loves when his children praising. Because when you exalt God in your life, the devil have no space in your life. Amen. He have no room in your life. Amen. He have no opportunity in your life. Because God now takes control over your life completely. Amen? Amen. And next thing he says, remember his nature. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, he said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Even with our sinful ways, the nature of God is so unique that he looks at us and just forgives us as his children. Each day we go sinning, he just forgave us. When we go to him and seek him, he's there willing to accept us and take us in as his own. He doesn't go judging us because of our past mistakes. He doesn't go casting us down because of what we did in the past. He accepts us because we are his creation. Amen? David said in Psalm 83, he said, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth. Everything that the earth can provide is God's. And that's, remember that he provides all the things. David said in the book of Psalms, he said, the earth is the Lord and what? The fullness thereof. There is nothing that was created or was created that was not created by God. Everything was created by him. Remember the nature of God, that supernatural nature that God can be glorified and honor God in your life. Matthew 28, 20 says, and remember, this is why I say, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's the assurance you can have. That when you walk with God, and that was a mistake Solomon made. He started on the good path. And down the line, He escaped and went the wrong way because of what? Riches, money, fame, all those things. They are good, but those things, when it takes control of your life and when God is not in the picture, it destroys your life. Help me, Chris. Let's go to the next slide, please. And the fourth point, why now? Why not later in life? Why can I enjoy my life now? Why can I do what I want to do now? Then maybe on later on in life, I can make a good decision. No. Life is fleeting. Life is moving ahead. And it's not going to wait for you to say, let me be 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 before I serve God. No. You don't know if you're going to reach that age. Because it's God who has your life in his hands. And he can call you any minute, any second he desires. And you know why I say that? I want to remember my only sister who passed away in Liberia, right? Young, just got married, having her first child. But she didn't even live to see her first child. First year of marriage. She didn't even live to celebrate her first year of marriage. She died young. And tell me, she didn't know. We didn't know. Only God knew. So that tells us that God can take us anytime. He knows what lies ahead. And he decides whether you can make it the next step ahead. And he knows what problem coming before you. And he decides, say, you know what? I'm bringing you home because I know the trouble ahead of you. I don't want you to get distracted. I don't want you to get away. I'm bringing you home to be with me. And sometimes it may hurt us as family. But to God, he's bringing his own home. That tells us that life is, Solomon said, is empty. It's meaningless with our God. And the next thing that Solomon said at the end of the passage, he said, it is man's duty. Chris, can you help me? Let's go to before I go to that. Job chapter 9, verse 25. Job said, now my days are swifter than a runner. And he said, they flee away and they see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. That's how fast life goes. And David in Psalm 90 said, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if, you see that? He said, if by reason of strength there be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. He said, for it is soon what cut off and we fly away. So we don't know, young people, you don't know. We that even stand here and preach, we don't even know when God is going to call us. I may leave from here in one year. Oh, Pastor, I'm so dead, but I'm not ready yet. But let's be real, right? I can leave from here and go home and go, oh, Pastor, I'm so dead. And he said, oh, he died so young, right? But guess what? God takes us. He doesn't care what age or how long or what have you. He takes us when he gets ready. So Solomon said the best thing is be ready. Be ready when God comes. It's man's duty. Let us, Solomon came at the end of his sermon, his message. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandment. He said, for this is man's all. Oh, fear God and keep his commandment. That's all we need to do. It's good to want to have success in life. We pray for our children to grow up and become successful in everything, right? But we should also pray for them to have a relationship with God. If you can spend time with the kids, taking them to a football game, if you can spend time with the kids, parents, I'm speaking to you now. If you can take time to send your kids to soccer, basketball, football, or whatever sporting activity, spend time with them in the Word of God. They need God's Word more than soccer, more than basketball, more than football, more than track and field, more than any other thing. Guess what? When we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no soccer pitch over there. When we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no football pitch over there. There ain't going to be no chair. If I want to be cheerleading for Jesus Christ. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, when our children are young, it's the time that we invest the Word of God in their lives. Because when they walk out that door of yours, you don't have control over them anymore. But when you start when they are young, the Word of God is powerful, church. Timothy said, Paul says to Timothy, he said, it's powerful then. Why? Any two-edged sword piercing the heart of man. So if you put the Word of God in the life of your children, even when they walk through that door, that Word of God, if they want to do crazy stuff, that Word of God will resonate in their life. They will remember God's Word. God will speak His Word through them. And they will have a second thought to remember what they have learned. And we have those opportunities here. Bring them for youth fellowship. Bring them for Awana fellowship. Bring them for Sunday school. Sometimes our jobs and everything help us to kind of focus on our job and forget about our children. How many of you spend time with your children at home reading the Word of God? How many of you talk to your children concerning the Word of God? Let's be real. The book of Deuteronomy, God told Moses, he said, this word of mine, teach it to your what? Children. He said, when you lie down, when you walk, wake up, when you walk by the side of the way, teach it. Even when you're taking them to the soccer game, teach the word of God to them. If you're taking them to the football game, speak the word of God to them. If you're taking them to the cheerleader game, speak the word of God to them. Let them understand that it's good to have all these things, but the Word of God is the most important thing in their life. Amen. Solomon says what? God will bring you what? Judgment. You don't say, you know why I was playing basketball, so I didn't have the time to go to church. No. Which one you prioritize, basketball or God? Which one do you prioritize? Your child's relationship with God or want to be the next Shaq or the next Kobe Bryant or the next Tom Brady? I love when they are, but let them be the next servant of God, knowing the truth of God. Because time is not in their favor. And this young man was trying to catch the ferry across the lake, and he ran as fast as he could. And by the time he got to the ferry, the gate man closed the gate. And he didn't make it. And a bystander told him, he said, I guess you didn't run too fast. And he says, I ran fast. But what I didn't do is I did not start in time. So if you don't start in time with your life, I don't care how much fast you run, you are not going to make it. It matters how soon you start building your relationship with God. Because God needs you now to do work for Him. God, there's so many things. Our college students and what have you, there are work in our church that you can be a blessing to. Our young people, there are things in the church you can be a blessing to. God needs you now to do His work. Now when you get older, that will be too late. Because you, it's not certain whether we're going to reach there. So the opportunity for those of you who have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the opportunity is yours to know him personally, to start now, even our young people. If you have not built a relationship with God, if you have not come to know him for yourself personally, the opportunity is yours. As the choir will lead us into a song, you can see any of our Pastor Gary, see myself, or any of the deacons, and we can talk to you because the opportunity is now. God needs you now, not tomorrow. Let's pray. Let the kids hold on small. Let's pray and then we can go. That way. Father, we want to thank you this afternoon. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts and the hearts of our young people. We would just seek you, they'll know you personally and grow in you and trust you, because now is the time to serve you, to build a relationship to you, with you, to get to know you personally and do what you have called us to do. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.